Shalom to all. Today's office is Shalom Yerivan, Daf Nun Dalet, and we are starting Nun Gimel Amud Beis, about a third of the way up from the bottom at the two dots with the core of the Mishnah, She'in Ma'arvin Adam El Midaitai, and the Vilcher Staff is on Nun Amud Aleph, about halfway in between the last Gemara and the end of the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Mars Mir Msar, Basim Yaakov Maisha, Hernish, Shama should have an Aliyah. So the Mishnah had said, She'in Ma'arvin Adam El Midaitai, and we had explained that this is a brand new thing. It's Machlekes Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not we're allowed to force a person to join in the Eruv. The Tanakhama, Rav Meir says, we can't force a person to join in. That's Shalom Midaitai without his consent, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, we are able to join him into an Eruv without his consent. And that's what the Gemara tells Masis Rav Meir, this Mishnah is Rav Meir, meaning this Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir is in Shitas Rav Meir. Rav Meir Amr, Rav Meir says, Al Dei Eruv, Al Dei Shitov, that we have to do both. We need to have an Eruv and Shitov, and therefore this whole Machlokes is in Shitas Rav Meir, according to the Rabbanon, who hold that we only need Shitov and not Eruv, so they for sure hold that you're not allowed to forcibly join somebody in the Eruv, because we don't even need the Eruv in the first place. So of course you can't force the guy to join in, only in Shitas Rav Meir, where we have to have an Eruv so we can have this discussion whether or not we're able to force the guy to join in. And the Gemara continues with something we already had a couple times before. Rabbi Zeir says, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, Be'erivin with Tanis Sibur Nagua Kokar Meir, with Hilchos Erivin, which is this. And with Tanis Sibur, we do Birchus Kahan by Mincha with Tanis Sibur. The minig is that everyone goes like a mayor, and Rabbi Yaakov says, Rabbi Yechanan, Af Megillas Esther Nagua Kokar Meir, even by Megillas Esther, everyone's minig is like a mayor, that we have to read the whole Megillas Esther in order to be Yitzay. Now continuing with the discussion, Yitzhak ben Chakula says, Beshem Reviewed in Hesia, Ma'arvin La'adam Al Karchai, we could make an Eruv for a person against his will, even if he doesn't want to join in the Eruv, we can go into his house and forcibly take out bread and join him in the Eruv. And Vitani Kane, we have a brass just like this. We can force all the people who live in the same Mavoi to chip in for the Lechi and the Kaira to permit everyone to carry in the Mavoi, and it'll be the same thing for joining in the Eruv. As the Gemara Vitani, we have a brass that says, Haresha Amrulay La Arev, if they ask the person, do you want to make an Eruv, and he doesn't protest, he doesn't say, no, I don't want to join in, then what's it then? We have to add to the gears of the following. Ma'arvin Olav, Shalai Midaitai, we could join him into the Eruv, Shalai Midas, we go into the house and take some bread, and now he's part of the Eruv. Now what's that? Mashma, Hayamayin, that if he actively refuses and says, I do not want to join in the Eruv, so then Ein Kaifin I say, that's a proper Girsa, it's Mashma, we can't force him to join in. The Bais clearly seems, not like Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chakula. If a guy says he doesn't want to join in, you can't force him to join. To this, the Gemara answers, when Dalad Omer Alpha on top, I'm reviewed and reviewed and says, Masisa Rav Meir, this brass we just quoted is Rav Meir, who holds that we can't make an Eruv Chazeres without a person's agreement. But Rabbi Yitzchak ben Chakula, who we just quoted before, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda by our Mishnah, that we could force someone to join Eruv Chatzeris even though he doesn't want to. And Rabbi Yisrael Bun, he tells us that Tifter could explain differently, could there be a cult like everybody, Shayot Tzeduki. This Bryce is referring to where the guy was a Tzeduki, and therefore the Mashmais of the Bryce is as follows, that even if we wanted to force him to join, it's not valid, because as we learned previously, a Tzeduki can't be part of an Eruv anyway, because he doesn't believe in the whole concept of Eruv. And that's all we're referring to in the Bryce, is when it's a Tzeduki. But actually, if it's a regular guy and he doesn't want to join an Eruv for some different reason, not because he doesn't believe in the Eruv, maybe he just doesn't have enough bread or stingy or something like that, we could force him to join in the Eruv. We have another question, but we have a different prize that tells us, Hashichech le'Eruv, if a guy forgot and didn't join the Eruv, Bein Sheik Bein Mezid, whether he did this B'Sheik or Mezid, Hareza Oisers, then he Asers. Did Rav Meir, that's Rav Meir's opinion, whereas Rav Yudin, Rav Yudin says, Mezid Oisers, Sheikig Ein Oiser, if he Bein Mezid didn't join in the Eruv, then he Asers everyone, but if he didn't join in B'Sheikig, then he does Aser. So the question is, Mezid Oiser, if he didn't join the Eruv on purpose, he Asers everyone, why would that be? Marvin Lal Karchai, according to his dinner of Yitzhak Bechakul that we're going off of, we're able to force the guy to join the Eruv. So why does it make a difference if he didn't join in B'Mezid? Why is that Aser everyone from carrying? Let's force him to join in anyway. And the answer is that Elamishim Kenas is just because of Kenas. Then when you say Aser, it's just a penalty. What does that mean? Me'ata, from now, we clarify, who Aser v'chaveru mutter? He's Aser to carry, but his friends, meaning all the other people in the Chatzar, they're actually mutter to carry here. Mekimet sheyachal la'ari v'loy Erav, that's Rabbi Girsa, since he was able to join in and he didn't, kainzun oisai, cham Kenasim, that he's not part of the Erav. In other words, when Rabbi Yehuda said, Mezid Aser, it doesn't mean that if he didn't join in the Erav of Mezid, he Asers everyone else from carrying. He actually doesn't. We force him to join in the Eruv, we take food from him, but the Chachamim knas him. You want to know what? You didn't want to join in the Eruv? Tough luck on you. You can't carry here. They took your bread, they forced you to join in, so they're allowed to carry, but you can't carry because you don't want to join in. And therefore, it's no question, Rav Yitzchak ben Chakula. We now ask on Rameir, Rav Meir doesn't hold that we could do a schus for a person even though he's not here. The only thing we just can't do for him is a chayv. We can't do something that's to his detriment if he's not there or if he doesn't agree to it. But if it's for his schus, it's for his good, we could do it even though he's not there. And so why wouldn't Rav Meir say that we could force a guy to join Eruv? It's good for him. And the answer is, so Rav Meir, less hadazachu, according to Rav Meir, it's actually not beneficial. It's not good for him to be part of the Eruv. Why is that? Because la bay bar nash yel chavrai l'besi bar midaite, a person doesn't want others to go into his house without his knowledge. He doesn't want people going to his house taking bread against his will. And therefore, we can't say it's a schus for him to join in the Eruv due to the fact that people are going into this guy's house against his will, taking his bread. And that's what Rav Meir says. We can't can't force a guy against his will to join the Eruv. Now, we have a story about this. Rav Babar, Rav Papi, says, B'shem Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Ma'aseh B'isha Achas She'erevel Chamosa B'lei Daita. There's a story with a woman who joined her mother-in-law into the Eruv without her mother-in-law's knowledge, without her permission. Basa Ovdi Kumi Rav Yishmael, and the story came to Rav Yishmael, U'bikish Lasar, he wanted to Aser. However, Amalei Ruchia, Ruchia told him, Kach Shemati Mevicha, I heard the following from your father, Rav Yishmael, which is Rav Yaisi, Kol Ma'asha Ad Yachal HaKab Erevin HaKel, anything you can be makel in regards to Erevin, so you should be makel, and that means you should be makel in this case as well. Hajanach Parak Chaloin, Mazdar finishing the seventh Parak of Masechas Erevin, just like Ruzecha finished this Parak together, Wish Ruzecha finished the entire Masechah together, and of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. And then we go on to a brand new Parak, the Mishnah says, Ketan Mishtatfin B'tchumen, how could we have a communal Erevin Tchumen? Remember, this is when a person wants to extend their Tchum, they're limited to 2,000 Amos in every direction, let's say from their city, but this Shabbos, they want to go in one particular direction so they could put down food at the 2,000 Amos mark, and that enables them to go 2,000 Amos past that. They can't go 2,000 Amos in any other direction from the city, but they could go 2,000 from the city to where their Erev is, then from the Erev another 2,000. And the question is, how could everyone in the city join in one Erev Tchumen? The answer is, Menechas Achavis, one guy could put down a barrel of food, Va'imer, and say, Harez L'chol B'nei Iri, this is for all the people in my city, L'chol Mishayech L'Beis Ha'avel, L'Beis Ha'mishta, for anyone who's going to house of mourning, like a Sheva house, or to Beis Mishta, like a Chasna, some Suidas Mitzvah. And the reason why the Mishnah is mentioning these two examples is because really, a person shouldn't be doing an Erev Tchumen unless he's doing it for a mitzvah purpose. Here's two great examples of a mitzvah of why a person would make Erev Tchumen. Now, who's included in this? Says the Mishnah, V'chol Mishikiba Av Ba'ed Yom, Mutter. Anyone whom Ba'ed Yom, Erev Shabbos, accepts upon himself that he's going to use this Erev, this good Samaritan of the city put down, so he's Mutter to use it. Whereas Mishachashech, if he does this at night, also then he's Aser, She'im Av Mishach Tashach, because we can't make it Erev once it gets dark. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Ketz Mishnatim Tchumen V'chulu. Now, we point out something very important. V'loitanisa Mizakain. It doesn't say that this guy who put down the barrel of food for everyone was Mizaka in it for them, like we said we could do by Shituf of Muvais. And the question is, well, why didn't we say that he was Zaycha in it for everyone else? And so Shmuel Mishmuel says, Taman Tanin Mizakain Tzarech Liskais. Over there, when we're talking about Shituf and Mavoi, it says that he's Mizaka in it for everyone else. That's because that Zachiyah needs to happen. Whereas Ram Hacha over here, Deloy Tanin Mizakain, it doesn't say that he was Mizaka in it for everyone else. Ain't it Tzarech Liskais? He doesn't have to be Zaycha in it for everyone else. And we're going to explain at the top of Amud Beis what the difference is. Now we have a question on this. Rabbi Yechon says, Kuli Chorin Bedavar. It should be Kal V'chaymer. Ma Inun Taman She'er V'chatzeres Midivreihen. Just like over there, when we're discussing Erev Chatzeros, that's only Dinder Abanon that we need Erev Chatzeros at Oyer Mizakin. You see over there, then in order for someone to be joined in, someone has to be Zeiche in the Erev for them. They have to have a real part in it. Well, Erev Tchumen, Midvar Taira, Erev Tchumen, which is Midaraisa, like Kol Shekin, when we say for sure that everyone has to have a real schus in it, and it's not sufficient just to have a guy say, whoever wants to join it could join in, and he doesn't have to have a real chelik in it? Now that's Rabbi Yechon's question. And one more point before we go back to explaining Shitas Shmuel, Asa de Rav, Rabbi Yechon. Rav holds like Rabbi Yechon. Rav holds that by Erev Tchumen, actually, we do have to make a real zchia in it for everyone who wants to join, and so clearly he holds like Rabbi Yechonon. Now, no doubt on base on top, on Rabbi Yisrael Bun, Rabbi Yisrael Bun explains Shitas Shmuel kidei lasis kol rishuyos ka'achas. It's because we need to make all the rishuyos like one. In other words, the reason why a real zchia has to be made for everyone who wants to join in the shitof or the erev chatzeros is because we have to make all the rishuyos over here like one. It has to be like we all live in the same house. For example, like an erev chatzeros, everyone from the chatzer has to be considered like they're living in one of the houses. Therefore, we have to make a real zchia. It's like they have to make a real kinyan in that guy's house in order to be able to be considered living there. But by Erev Tchumen, it's not that you have to own the piece of property where your food is. He's simply putting his food down over there to show that that's my temporary location for this Shabbos. Not that I actually live there, but that's where I want to be located. Therefore, no halachic zechia has to happen where the person actually owns part of the Erev Tchumen. It's sufficient for it to be called Al Shemay, that he has his name added to the list, but not more than that. And moving on to halacha beis, the Mishnah continues, Kamu Shirai, what is the shir? How much food does the Erev Tchumen have to be made up of? And the answer is, Mazon Shtei Sud. Two sudas worth of food for every person who's going to be joining. Rav Meir says that that two sudas worth of food is the amount of food he eats during the week, but not on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, it's the amount of food he eats on Shabbos, but not during the week. And Elu ve'il Mischam al-Hakel, both of them are intending to be Mekel. They just argue about when to eat less food, during the week or Shabbos. And whichever one that is, that's how much food it has to be part of the Erev. They're not really arguing an amount that much. And we're going to discuss this further in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yechon Breka'imer, he argues and says, Mikika Rampundyon Ma'ar Basan Basela, there has to be a loaf that costs a pundyon when 4 saw of wheat cost a sela, that size loaf. Now, pundyon is 1/48 of a sela, which means that this kikar is 1/48 of 4 saw, and that size is half of a kav, or translated into beitzim, into eggs amount, that's 12 eggs worth. And that's the size of loaf of bread we need, according to Rabbi Yechon Breika. Rabbi Shimon says, M'shtei yadus lekikar, m'shalosh lekav, the size of loaf is different, it's 2/3 of a loaf when 3 equal a kav. In other words, the size of loaf loaf is a third of a kav, not half of a kav, as we just explained in Rabbi Yechon Breka, and translated into beitzim, that's 8 beitzim worth, not 12. Now, once we're talking about the size of a loaf of bread, we talk about two other halachas, chetzi al bayis hamenuga. Half of this loaf is the shear of a bayis hamenuga. This is a house that has tsaras. We know that the second a person walks into a house that has tsaras, he and his clothing are tamei. However, he doesn't have to immerse his clothing in a mikvah until he stays in this house long enough to eat a certain amount of bread. And so as we're saying that half of this loaf of bread that Rabbi Yechon Breka or Rabbi Shimon mentioned, that's the size of bread he has to eat in order for him to have to immerse his clothing in the mikvah. And the other thing regarding loaf of bread, v'chetzi chetzia, half of a half, meaning a quarter of this loaf, k'day lifts al segvia, in order to passel his body. Namely, if a person eats this amount of bread, which happens to be tameh, that passels his body from eating truma, meaning he's not allowed to eat truma until he's matar himself. And something we're explaining, she just remained reviewed. Remember, Rav Meir had said that the two sudas worth of food is based off of how much a person eats during the week, whereas Rav Yehuda said it's based off of how much a person eats on Shabbos. So Gemara explains, Rav Meir says, b'chayla during the week, d'les le'ma lo'ichal, a person doesn't really have so much other random food to eat besides bread, hu oichal pita tzivchad, he eats much less bread, whereas b'shabsa on Shabbos, d'is le'ma lo'ichal, he has a whole bunch of other things to eat, he has a bunch of dips and whatnot, oichal pita sagin, so he eats a lot of bread. Remember, they used to eat bread with dips and a whole bunch of other things. So on Shabbos, when a person is mar b'machalim, he has a lot of other types of dips and salads and whatnot on his table, so he's going to be eating a lot of bread. Whereas during the week, he doesn't have so much of these other random foods, he's going to be eating less bread. That's what Rav Meir says, that we measure the Erev with how much bread he's going to be eating during the week, because he eats less bread during the week. Whereas Rav Yudin says, you're right that he has less food during the week, however, b'chayla d'les le'malaychal, since during the week, he doesn't have so much other random foods, he doesn't have salads and dips and whatnot, oichol pita sagin. So he actually ends up eating more bread because he wants to fill himself. He doesn't have those other salads and dips. Whereas b'shavs on Shabbos, d'is le'malaychal, he has other foods to eat, oichol pita sivchad, so he eats less bread on Shabbos. Therefore, we judge based off of how much bread he eats on Shabbos and not during the week. Now we're going to the next two shitas of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Breka and Rabbi Shimon. Something where it tells us Vatani Kain, Kraven Devarim Liyos Shavin. Rabbi Yechon Breka and Rabbi Shimon's shitas are very similar to each other. Ask him, Asachami, come and see. Ahen Avadi Gula Tre Aser Bein. This one, Rabbi Yechon Breka, according to him, the eagle, the loaf of bread that we're talking about, is made up of 12 eggs. As we had said, it's half of a kav, which is 12 eggs. Nun Hamadav on top, Vahan Avadi Gula Tamni. But Rabbi Shimon, he says the loaf of bread we're talking about is 8 eggs, because he said it's a third of a kav, and a third of a kav is Shmoneh Beitzim. V'tamer Hachin, you're saying this? You're saying that their shitas are very similar to each other? 8 Beitzim and 12 Beitzim is actually a pretty significant difference. So how can you say it's the same shita? And on this, Rav Huna Amar, he answers, same Mehen Shlish Liyitziyah. In Rabbi Yechon Breka's shita, subtract a third of it for the expenses, meaning the baker who makes his loaf of bread, even the loaf of bread is costing a punyan, when 4 saw cost a sela, he's actually subtracting a third of it because of his costs incurred in making the bread, and it's not exactly a third, it's about a third, which means you're receiving just about the same exact size loaf as Rav Shimon says, because a third of 12 is 8. And now that we have this concept of baker subtracting his cost of making it, Rav Yisrael Rabun Nafak Leili Ilan Nachtemaya Kaudad Rav Huna. Rav Yisrael Rabun, he went out and he paskened for those bakers, just like Rav Huna, they could subtract a third for their costs, Ulechod Kohen Shura, but it's only like that shear, meaning only when the cost of wheat is 4 saw per sela, so then they could take away a third for their cost. But not if the price of wheat is different. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Gimel, continue to discuss. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.